Welcome to Ballers with Babies. I'm Mark Willard. Today we know so much about what athletes and sports personalities do, but not so much about who they are, what makes them tick. What's life like the moment the stadiums and TV cameras go dark? Most go home to their families. We want to know what that after-hours experience is like. Ballers with Babies explores their upbringing, their home life, how it's affected by their high-profile job, and how that high-profile job is affected by the home life. On Ballers with Babies, we talk to some of the most interesting names in sports and find out how they're even more interesting than we realized. And don't worry, diehard fan, we'll get to the important sports questions as well. This is your favorite people like you've never heard them before. I hope you enjoy. Okay, Nick Swisher, let's get him in here on Ballers with Babies. Baseball star, now analyst for Fox, dad of two little girls. And I would just call you, Nick, an all-around fireball. Where do you get the energy, man? Where does it come from?
It comes from down deep, bro. No, you know what, man? It's funny. I was having this conversation with some people last week. I was actually in Tampa doing the New York Yankee men's and women's fantasy camp. And they were talking about it, like, man, you really need to sell whatever you're taking every day. You need to learn. You need to sell that.
That's right.
And I was like, guys, it's so funny because you're giving me compliments on my hyperness now. But when you were 6, 10, 12 years old, it was not as much fun. So it's cool to be on the other side of it. But I think for myself, man, being a kid with all this energy, man, obviously you get into a lot of trouble. But I think now that I'm a little older, a little more seasoned, I feel a lot better about it.
You know what? I hadn't thought of that. So, I mean, this is just your DNA. This is the way it's always been. And you're right. As a little kid, that must have been a nightmare.
Oh, bro. You know what? We used to get our grade cards, and, you know, they used to give you, like, you know, your great. You know, for me, it was N/I, needs improvement on a lot of things, man. So I just think of where I'm at in my life and just how blessed I am. And now, you know, I mean, when I was growing up as a young kid, to be brutally honest, you know, I wasn't really paying attention to, you know, the schoolwork and stuff. I mean, you really just went to school so you could, you know, get your grades and stay eligible and play your sports and the whole nine. But now that I'm a father, hey, being smart, bro, like, that's the coolest thing on the planet. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I would have taken this this way when I was a kid myself. But I'm telling you what, man, for my little girls, man, they love reading. They love books. They love all that stuff. And all I do is try and feed them.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, too, because you know what they always say about kids that are like that? Like, then you become a parent and you know, your parents will say, oh, you're going to get it now because now you're going to get your turn, right? But you know what? I look at you and I wonder, especially because you don't have boys, at least not yet. You've got two girls. I'm imagining, like, most parents sit there and go, man, I don't have the energy for this. You seem like you do. Like, do you have even more energy than your girls?
You know what? I think I can stay right there with them. I can stay right there with them, you know, until it gets to be about, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, then I start tailing down, bro. I'm like, I need to get some Z's. You know, I feel like with the girls, man, and you know, people know as being, you know, mothers or fathers, especially here in the Los Angeles area, I mean, half the time it just feels like you're a taxi driver. It just seems like you're driving them around from place to place. And for me, I think I'm so blessed to be able to have the ability to do that. Obviously, still being young in the grand scheme of life, but to be able to be home and be a father is one of the coolest things I got going.
And the girls are 5 and 2, is that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Full name, Emerson J, and then Sailor Stevie. But we call Emerson J, we call her either Emmy or Champ, and then we call Sailor, we call her Say.
Okay.
S-A-I.
These are amazing names, but how does one get to be called Champ? How did she get that?
Let me take you back. 2013, Emmy was born May 21st, right?
There you
Season's
go.
In the swing of things, right? Well, you know, I mean, as a partner and, you know, and as a, you know, try and be the best husband, father you can be, you can't let the missus take care of the kid all the time, right? You got to pull your share, right? So I remember it was a late game. And I had gotten home. It might have been an extra inning game, and I'm not quite sure. 2013. And all of a sudden, Joe's there at the front door, literally with Emmy, arms extended, just handing her to me like, I need a break. I've been going at this all day, you know. And so I'm like, hey, I'm on it, right? And I'm like, dude, I'm dad to the rescue. I'm going to be super dad. I've got this. Everything's under control. So it's about that time. She should be going to sleep at this point, right? We do the bottle, the whole nine. All of a sudden, man, I'm rocking her away. And 30 minutes goes by. Nothing. She's just looking at me. 45 minutes. She's still just cheesing at me, right? An hour. An hour and 30 minutes go by with me just bouncing around the house. I'm exhausted at this point. And so finally, she just kind of looks at me, gives me like this little cheesy grin, and then just literally passes out in my arms, right? And so I'm like, oh my God, I can't even believe this. I get into bed and I wake Joe up and I'm like, Joe, she finally went to sleep. And she was like, oh, thank goodness. Right. And I'm like, Joe, she fought that like a champ. I couldn't even believe it. It's like, there's no way she was going down. She was fighting it. So the next thing you know, I woke up the next morning and I was like, huh, champ. Champ. And it just kind of stuck. And 9 times out of 10, when I say something to somebody, I'll be like, hey, you know, Champ and I were going to go to the store. We've got some errands to run. And they'll be like, oh, your son? Right. And I'm like, no, that's actually my daughter. But she kind of got a boy nickname. So. Oh, boy. But it just stuck. And people call her that all the time now. And not for any other reason other than the fact that there's no way that she was going to go down for her sleep that night. And that's how it stuck.
She's got a strong will. I love it.
That's it. I appreciate that.
By the way, though, what about a son? Are you guys done?
Hey, Mark, I'm pushing for 3, brother. But let's be honest. You know, we know who has the power.
Right.
You know? So I think for myself, I think I've been so blessed to not only have 2 beautiful daughters, but I think as a parent, you always want the health, right? And I have 2 healthy daughters. And I think I could not be more blessed. But, brother, don't you think I'm not trying?
Oh, man.
Don't think I'm not trying to, you know, make this happen. And I feel for myself is people always say, man, Nick, you really need a boy. And, you know, and my response to them is I don't think I do, right? Like, I think you get what you're supposed to get, right?
Yes.
And with these 2 girls that have come into my life and literally just built spaces in my heart that there will be nothing else other in my heart other than those 2. I feel like I don't need that, man. I feel like they have made me a better person. They've made me a better father for sure. Right. They've kind of taken my kind of hyperness in a way and been able to kind of put it in the right direction. But I don't know, man. I always see the dads and the sons playing catch and stuff outside. And it looks like fun, but I don't know, man. I'm good at all this girl stuff,
yeah,
man. Like you need a braid. What do you need? You need a pony, right? You know, I got it all, man. You know what I mean? I mean, even for my wife, you need me to put your eyelashes on. I got that too. You know, I think for me, man, you know, in our home, you know, we got a lot of women, man, a lot of strong,
yes,
powerful women. And I think that's a great thing to have.
Oh, it's beautiful. Well, maybe it's that it's not that you need a son, but you'd probably be really good at it. I think that's what people are saying. And, you know, like you and your dad, you, I'm sure, had that father-son sports relationship. Your dad was a big leaguer. I wonder this. We always hear that when someone grows up around the game, it makes it easier for them to then make it in the pros. Is that actually true? How did it help you?
Well, I think you can look at it 1 of 2 ways. I think for myself, on one side, I would look at it in the sense of, wow, man, I was so lucky and I was so blessed to be able to have somebody in my life who was there, who had been there and done that. There's nothing that he hadn't seen, right? He's failed on the highest level. He succeeded on the highest level. It's easy for myself to listen to somebody who's been there and done that rather than really someone who's never been there at all, right? Unless, you know, obviously you're extremely educated on the subject and the whole nine, right? But I think for me to be able to have a dad who was literally going to tell me how it was going to go down was crazy. And I think that was a blessing for me because I knew what to expect. I also think for myself, you know, growing up in the minor leagues when my dad was coaching, I got to see a lot of guys who, in my opinion, thought it had what it took to get to the big leagues. And it didn't happen for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think some people kind of take for granted their skills and the whole nine. I think the one thing that people need to realize is no matter how blessed you are by the big man upstairs, you got to work. I think, you know, in my mind, like LeBron James is a huge example of that. One of the most gifted, most talented individuals ever. But his work ethic is what makes him who he is. And I think that's a cool thing. So I think for myself, it was nice to be able to have a father who taught me all that stuff. But at the end of the day, baby, you got to want it. And I think we're in a world now that if you want something and you want to work hard enough for it, you can get it.
Yeah, man, you go do it, no doubt. You know, and I know you had a lot of family influences growing up. Fans may remember watching you go to the plate and you would kiss the bottom of your bat when you went to the plate. And if I have it right, that was kissing grandma's initials. And I know she had a big hand in raising you as well. What led to that, and what was the transition like for you when you did, you know, kind of head to a new family home, if you will?
Yeah, well, I think just in general, man, like, I don't deal well with death. I don't think anybody does, but I think for myself, man, I just push it way, way down, right? It's just, I'm such a happy-go-lucky, like, sunny type of guy, man. That's such a dark cloud for me. And obviously for myself, losing my grandmother, I lost the closest person to me in my life, the first time I ever dealt with something like that. And that took a major toll on me, man. I didn't know how to go about it. There was a lot of inner battles. There were a lot of things because, in a way, when I played baseball, I tried to show off for my grandma, right? Like, that was kind of the one thing that she loved to watch me do, man. She loved to watch me hit. And I think a lot of people might remember when I always used to kind of look up to the top of the stadium. And in my mind, that was the best seat in the house. She could watch me do everything on the baseball field from there. So for me to be able to have her in my life, it was amazing. But I think, you know, everybody deals with it in certain ways. So I think for me, being able to have a woman in my life that taught me so many amazing things, I wanted to do my best to represent her, you know, on and off the field. And for myself, you know, the bottom of my bat, I always had her initials and always put her in the best seat in the house, right there on the top of the stadium. And the vision I always got when I looked up there was my grandma just stuffing fireballs in my papaw's mouth because he just couldn't keep quiet and be like, "Oh, Betty, help! Oh, hell, Betty did it again. He struck out again, Betty." And she'd be like, "Don, just zip it, Don," right? Because there was, you know, now that I look back on it, there was nothing that I could have ever done in this world that she would have believed I would have done, right? That I could do no wrong in her world. And I think for myself to be able to have somebody, to have a relationship like that with anybody was a blessing. And I have her initials tattooed right across my heart because she was the one person that I always wanted, you know, to make proud, right? She taught me a lot of things. She used to say, "Son, there's two types of people in this world, Mick. There's people that get it, and there's people that don't get it. Now, which one are you?" I'm like, "Hey, damn, Grandma, I get it. Now, you've been saying this to me for like, I feel like 100 years." But it was a simple way of life for her. And I think for myself, that's kind of where I am, man. I think there's good and there's bad, right? And every day that you live your life, I try to do good. And she was a major, major influence on me. Other than my wife, probably one of the greatest women I've ever met, no doubt.
Okay, speaking of your wife, actress Joanna Garcia, how'd you two meet?
Oh, bro, how lucky am I, right? I mean, come on, bro.
You Yankees get all the breaks, man.
No, come on, bro. It's like I won a contest I didn't even know I signed up for, right? I was like, it's crazy. I think she's been literally, man, just the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I mean, ever since I met her, man, June 28th, back in 2009, just life kind of moved forward and up for me. I think she's just she has to be the greatest person on the planet, in my opinion. And not only that, it just happens to be that she's smoking hot, dude. So I'm like, dude, it's like, I met the greatest person on the planet who just happens to be like a smoke show, right? I mean, like, that has to be like on another planet. So I think for me, man, I'm just so lucky, bro. I look at where I started my life and the things that I've gone through, and to be able to have a wife and a daughters and a family and like all these great friends, bro. I don't take this stuff for granted because it's like, this doesn't happen to everybody.
No,
And people are always like, man, you know, you're always happy and you're smiling and the whole nine. Yeah, I have my down days just like everybody does. But on the grand scheme of things, bro, you sit back and you look at my life. I'm like, holy shit, is this happening? Is this happening, right? Like, I don't think people would, like, believe it. I mean, I've just been so blessed. And every day I feel like it just keeps getting better and better.
You remember the date that you two met. I don't know many couples who remember the date they met.
Oh, yeah, bro, because it just so happened to be my second daughter's birthday.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
Okay, so right?
First time we met.
Right, but that means you would have to remember the date for a period of what, 5, 6, 7 years before you even knew.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Right?
I call Joanna Joe, if most everybody does. Bro, I know everything about that woman, brother. I know everything about that woman. Just like, you know me, man, I can talk. And when we first started kind of getting to know each other and dating, it was a lot of talking, man. It really was. It was just a lot of getting to know each other and like, well, what do you have in your future? You're like, what are your plans? You know, like, what do you want to do? Right. And then all of a sudden we get together and the next thing you know, we win a World Series. I'm like, bro, this woman is like amazing. And just from there, man, like everything just kind of propelled moving forward, because as cool as it was, like, you know, when you're in your 20s and you're trying to figure out life and you're on your own and, you know, you think it's great. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want. Well, by the way, life is so much better and easier when you have somebody to go through it with, bro. I'm telling you, man, like, you got somebody to lean on at all times. And I think, you know, people in good relationships understand that. And I think I'm one of those guys.
You know, I mentioned in joking a few minutes ago, gosh, you Yankees get all the luck. I wonder, you know, you do identify still as a Yankee, but you started as a member of the Oakland A's. Like, how is life?
Yes,
what's
sir.
The gap there in terms of life difference of being a Yankee and being an Oakland A?
Hey, bro, I think for us, when we were in our early 20s, man, we were all part of that Moneyball book. And, you know, a good amount of us got a chance to make it to the big leagues around the same time. Right. It kind of reminded me of, in a sense, the Baby Bombers, not necessarily maybe to that caliber, but we were all young guys coming up in the Oakland's organization. Me, Joe Blanton, Houston Street. I mean, we were all these young Thundercats, bro. And like, we just thought we were the jam. Right.
Yeah.
So great to have all those guys to come up with. I mean, I think for myself, man, the difference between the Oakland A years and the New York Yankee years was, I did it exactly how you're supposed to do it, man. You come up to big as you're 23 years old. You don't know any better, right? You're just trying to enjoy every moment. Like, wow, bro, I'm here in the big leagues and I'm flying on a plane every 3 days to different cities and getting to it. Come on, man. I'm from Parkersburg, West Virginia, bro. Like, I never gone to all these cities before. I'm like, let's go. So I think for myself, we had a blast growing up. In the game and just being around all that. And, you know, I met Joe right there in my late 20s, man, right when I felt like I was in that right mode. But, bro, if I would have met that woman when I was 18, I would have locked her up.
Yeah, no,
you know
doubt.
What I'm saying? Like, it didn't matter. You know what I feel like? I felt like I met her at the right time.
Yes.
You know, I feel like it was, you know, we were both able to experience life, find out the things you like, find out the things you don't like. And then when we got together, bro, it's just been fireworks ever since.
I love it. You know, you mentioned being part of the Moneyball group, and I read that you were one of the somewhat rare cases where kind of the old guard scouts liked you, and then so did the analytics crowd. Why do you think that was?
I don't know, man. You know, like, I guess I was just – that's just the way I played. And, you know, I felt like I kind of had the reputation of kind of, you know – taking a lot of pitches and, you know, drawing a lot of walks, but come along with a lot of walks and seeing a lot of pitches, obviously come a lot of strikeouts, but I was definitely going to make you work to get me out. Right. I wasn't the best hitter out there, but I tried to be, you know, one of those guys where you're just like, man, I hate facing this guy. You know, I mean, for myself, I had a little bit of power, you know, you miss over the middle part of the plate. I had a chance to put you in the seats. But I think for myself, man, I love the game, and that's, I think timing has a lot to do with things. And for myself, if I would have come out in the draft 2 years earlier, no one would have even known about us. Moneyball? What? What is that?
Right.
All of a sudden, Billy Beane came up with this unbelievable idea of being in a low market team and not being able to afford the huge, to be able to afford the huge stars. What could he do to put himself to the top? And obviously, on base percentage was crucial for him. I mean, obviously, that's the name of the game. When you get to the plate, that's what you want to do. You want to try and reach base any way you can. And for myself, I had a pretty good knack of doing that. So I think maybe just with my upbringing of being a very blue-collar, you know, very hardworking, morals maybe, and kind of my new school swag, you know, with my long hair and the 15 wristbands and the whole nine, bro.
Yep.
You know, I mean, but at the end of the day, maybe you got to be you, man. You know, you got to be you, because I don't know how to do it any other way. So I think for myself, I was really lucky that the timing worked out just tremendously, because that was kind of the start of the analytics in the game, if you think about it. And now, obviously, with where we are, analytics are a huge part of the game. So I think for myself, I was lucky, man. I was lucky and blessed to kind of be the face of that Moneyball era, because, I mean, it was cool. I mean, bro, come on, let's be honest. I got drafted after my junior year at Ohio State, and I'm not even going to tell you where my GPA stood, right? Right? It doesn't even need to be said, right? But for like a jock kind of meathead guy early in my 20s, to be able to, like, when people wanted us to sign autographs, they didn't want us to sign our baseball cards. They wanted us to sign their books.
Yep.
And for us, it was kind of cool, man, because nobody else was doing that, right? Like, there was nobody else down in Visalia, California, right, in A-ball signing books. You know what I mean, right? It just wasn't like that. So I think we all we really all enjoyed that.
Continuing with Nick Swisher on Ballers with Babies. Man, you're not even 40 years old. What do you still want to do?
No, bro, I want to do it all, baby. I want to do it all, man. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm a puppy in this world. And as blessed as I was to be able to have the career I've had, and for myself, if you sit back and look at it, you know, I don't think I would have to work another day in my life, because I've been so blessed through the game of baseball to help my family and for us to be financially stable and the whole nine. But, baby, I ain't done, man. I'm ready, dude. I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, you know, I'm doing my on-air, you know, my analyst stuff with Fox, which is great. But I feel like for myself, man, I've had an opportunity to come over there on Saturdays and do Fox Sports Radio, which was dope. By the way, to have an opinion on other things other than just baseball, I think is where I want to go.
Yes.
Right? I don't want to box myself in of just one sport, right? I love a lot of things in life. And for myself, I just like you, right? If you want to be part of it and you want to get yourself in there, you got to put the work in. And so I think for myself, I'm learning from being around guys like, you know, like yourself, you know, like Steve, you know, guys like who've been part of Fox for years, right? I mean, you got to learn how to work, right? And especially in a new era. But I'm going to take this second half of my life, or this second, whatever you want to call it, second career of my life, and I'm going to do it just like the first one. I'm going to work my ass off, man. And I'm going to try and put myself in the best rooms I can get in, because at the end of the day, man, I want to be successful. I want to affect somebody, right? I want to affect somebody's life in a positive way, right? So I think for myself, to be able to have those opportunities, man, because you only get a couple of them. So once you get that shot, you got to be ready. You got to be ready to go. And I also look at on-air stuff like this. You know, there's a lot of people that get jobs in sports right now. And if you think about it, a lot of the guys that might get some jobs either are, number one, the Hall of Fame guys. And then number two, maybe some of the controversial guys.
Yep.
I'm neither. Right? I mean, like, I got nothing, bro. Like, I mean, oh, you know what, man? They named the baseball field after me at Ohio State.
There you go.
That's all I got.
There you go.
That's all I got. You know?
Yeah, but you know
like
what?
That's where I'm at, man.
Yeah, you know,
I want to change people's lives. I love working with people, and I love, you know, just chit chatting, obviously. But I think for myself, man, you know, I think the future is going to be awesome, man. I don't exactly know what's going to happen, but I'm going to try it all, man. I'd love to host a game show, right? I think that'd be a blast, right? I think I want to do something that could just keep me going, man. Because with a lot of energy like this, man. downtime is not always the best. Right? Downtime can be the annoying times when I'm on Joe all the time. Like, hey, baby, you want to go shoot some hoops? He's like, no, I don't want to go shoot hoops. And I'm like, you want to go play some golf? She's like, no, Nick, I have to work, right? I'm starting a business. I've got things to do. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Okay. I think I'm just going to go outside and just do some jumping jacks or something. That's right.
Oh, I feel you, man. My wife is always like, gosh, we need more downtime. I'm like, downtime's usually kind of boring. Let's go, let's go do
not
this.
Good,
go do
bro. Not good.
I love it. Well, you know what else you just said, though? And I think that this is really important about our business right now. Because not only did you say earlier, you know, you got to be you. There's only one way to do it. But then that whole idea of, hey, man, the controversial guy gets the job. I think that's fleeting, man. I think that there's going to be a whole lot of room for words like real and positivity and energetic and hardworking going forward. I really do.
I mean, bro, wouldn't that be the way you would want to do it?
Yes.
Right? Like, when you turn on the news every night, can you watch it for more than, like, 4 minutes? I can't do this.
I gave up 7 years ago on the news. Yeah, I gave up.
That's what I'm saying, right? You can't tell me that there aren't a whole heap of people like us that might want a news station that gives all the good things that are happening in life, right?
Yes.
Or, like, reading about the great things that people do in this world. You don't hear about that stuff as much, man. And like you're saying, man, I hope it does change. Because I feel like sometimes people get a little scared, you know, to kind of change over a little bit. But I don't know, man. It's easy for me to be happy. I think it's hard for me to kind of be mean, right? Like, it's hard to be mean. Like, what's it say? More muscles in your face to make you frown than it does to smile, right?
Yep.
Something like that?
Yep. Something like that.
I don't know, man. Yeah, man.
I'm with you.
I just think we just got to keep rocking on, man. Just keep trying to wake up every day, kick ass, and repeat.
My man, we need to talk about an article that came out about 2 to 3 months ago where your wife said that you have the invitation to have sex with her every time she takes a shower. And I want to know what kind of parents of young kids are you? You are not allowed to run around and have sex like a crazy person. What is going on in your house?
Hey, bro, we try and keep it spicy, bro. We try and keep it going. You know, I think it's funny, man, because Joe's mom, you know, I mean, and Joe even said this at our wedding, that her mother gave her, you know, her mom and her father have been married for almost 50 years, and they have an amazing relationship. And her mother told her, right, and Joe told this story at our wedding. She was like, honey, if you want a marriage that lasts, you have to put out, right? I'm like, Mrs. G, I love you, right? You're like the greatest mother-in-law ever, right? You know?
Oh, but, so good.
You know what, man? Hey, you know how it is, man. You're married, you got kids, bro. There ain't a whole lot of time,
no.
Bro. Like, this whole marathon stuff, bro, that ain't always how it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you just got to make it happen. And for us, man, you know, that's a good way for us.
I loved your advice to the guys, too, which was make it quick.
Oh, bro.
I don't know that a lot of guys need that advice, but I think it's good advice.
But then you got, hey, you can't, hey, bro, let's speed it up, dude. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like, hey, there ain't no one in there. It's like, you know, 40 minutes. Come on, bro. That was like high school stuff.
You know what the best part of that is? I wonder, like, how are the two of you, this is really beautiful in my mind, comfortable enough in your own skin for both of you to even do an interview like that?
Yeah, well, I feel like what you see is what you get, man. You know, I think, you know, I feel like for us, we've just, I think that's just who we are. And we don't have anything to be ashamed of. And I think that's kind of one of the things. I think a lot of people sometimes can't be fully who they want to be, maybe because there might be something there. But for us, man, shit, dude. Like, we love life. We are who we are. And I think for us, man, like, I could not be more blessed just to have the life that I have, man.
So great. So great. Give me a quick pick of how it all looks like in terms of all of these pieces of Nick Swisher, dad, husband, baseball analyst, Yankees special advisor. Like, what's the percentage of Nick that gets dedicated to each of those?
Well, obviously family first, man. I feel like that's why I haven't taken a coaching job, right? Or something like that, something along those lines, because, you know, I had a father who I have an amazing relationship, but, you know, he was gone for a lot of it, right? He was gone to, you know, coaching in the minor leagues, you know, yep. making a paycheck, you know, being able to, you know, put food on the table, do what he needed to do as a man. And for myself, I'm blessed to be able to have the ability to be home, right? And let's be honest, man, like I got two daughters, right? And when we found out we were pregnant with Emmy, or when Joe was pregnant with Emmy, and someone gave me a book and it was called Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. And it talks about the most important relationship that you'll ever have in your life is with your daughter, right? Now, if you sit back and think of that, out of most of the amazing women that you know in this world, they probably have a great relationship with their father. And for myself, I wanted to be one of those guys, right? I want to have the best relationship I can, because at the end of the day, all I want my daughters to do is to be confident, right? To be powerful, right? Because at the end of the day, dude, you don't mess with a strong, powerful woman. You just don't. Yep. People just don't. You're like, you know what? Hey, man, I'm not even going over there, right? That's the thing, man. In this world, right? And we're in, and as a father of two little girls, it's so great, because all I want them to know and to realize that we were talking about earlier, you want it, go get it. You can do anything you want in this world. Things are changing, right? And they have just as much power now as ever. So I want them to realize that they have our backing. We'll be behind them 150%, right? And Joe's big thing is just be kind, right? She always talks about more honey than vinegar, right?
Yes.
And to be able to have a woman, a strong, powerful woman that leads our home, right? I'm second in command, baby. You know what I mean? I'm like the brawn, right? She's the brain, and I just kind of like carry out what needs to be done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Be honest, at the end of the day, man, women are just smarter than us, bro. I mean, it's just true.
It's so true.
Whether you want to believe it or not.
No, man, you're there to put up Christmas lights. That's pretty much that's what we're doing.
I'm here to just be supportive, and especially now with where I am in my life, to be able to have a woman that works not only, you know, as an actor and actress, but also has just started up her own business called The Happy Place, you know, interior designs, things like that. It's like, to be able to see her work every day is so awesome to see. And we have two beautiful little daughters in our home that are seeing that every day, that if you want it, you can work for it. You got to work hard for everything. And so I think for us, man, to be able to have both of us kind of doing what we both need to do to raise our daughters, man, it's awesome. I'm just hoping one of these days we might get number three, you know?
Yes, sir. Okay, home stretch with Nick Swisher. Let's stick to sports. Nick, get your analyst hat on a little bit, or even just your thoughts on some of these things. I mean, free agency in baseball right now seems to be lost. Why aren't guys getting the deals they want?
It's crazy, right? You know, I mean, we're coming up on the beginning of February, and there's a whole heap of all-stars that still have not signed yet. I don't know what's going on right now, and I think there's definitely going to be some investigations for sure, because I don't know whether the owners are trying to drop, you know, the payrolls or what. But I mean, by the way, the big boys aren't even off the board
Correct.
Yet.
Correct. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, right? Like, a lot of the pitchers have been off the board, right? Because people understand you got to have pitching, especially back into the bullpen guys. Those guys have signed some really, really good deals. But I think the days of the 10-year contracts are done. I think people are realizing that the tail end of those contracts, they don't work out as well as they might have thought. And I don't know, but I feel like the C word comes up, man. Feels like people have talked a little bit about collusion.
Yep.
Obviously, that's going to be looked into as well. And obviously for myself, kind of being on both sides of it, being on the analyst side of things, but also kind of being part of that front office side with the Yankees, it's interesting to see how things kind of shake down. I think, you know, general managers are trying to get the most bang for their buck. And, you know, the Giancarlo $325 million contract might not be floating out anymore, which is crazy because every year baseball keeps making more and more and more money, right? And the only way that you make that money is by putting a good product on the field. So the end of the day, man, I want these guys to make as much money as they can. I want, because I understand what the grind is like. It's tough, right? It's not always easiest, but this game can give you everything in this world. So for those guys, I wish them the best of luck. It's just, it's crazy because things are changing, right? Things are always kind of evolving. Things are always changing. And maybe with the, maybe with analytics being part of the game, maybe they're realizing that the dollar number needs to drop down.
You know, it's wild too, because as you said, they're still making more money, but attendance in many places is down and ratings are down. And there are a lot of reasons for that. It's not just A to B, but to me, there's an entertainment issue that seems to be missing in the process. The off season has felt really long and at times boring because all we're getting are rumors. You could make the case that the regular season at times feels that way. You know, analytics caused the Dodgers to not put their best hitters out there in game one of the World Series. How does baseball fix all of this?
Well, I think just in general, I think time, you know, time is what it's going to take. I think there's a lot of things that teams are trying. Look at the Tampa Bay Rays with the invention of the opener, right? I mean, the starting pitcher in baseball for them doesn't really have a place, which is crazy because they had the Cy Young Award winner in Blake Snell.
Yeah.
Most of the time, these guys are throwing out bullpen guys to start the game. I think that right now, a lot of teams are thinking outside the box, man, and I think that's great. I think at the end of the day, it's America's favorite pastime, right? It is funny to me, though, as an analyst now, most of the sports that are talked about year-round are basketball and football.
Yep.
Right? Baseball is the longest season that we have yet covered the least. You know, I've been at Fox now. This will be my third year coming up this year. And the only times that I could really remember, you know, either going on, you know, the Herd or, you know, Speak for Yourself or, you know, First Things First, it was come playoff World Series time.
Yep.
Like, stuff is not covered very much during the regular season. So I think with that, I think, you know, football, basketball, man, they got the personalities, bro. They got a lot of fun those guys are having. So I think for our game, you know, we can get those personalities up a little more. But at the end of the day, man, as long as people are watching it on TV, teams are making money, owners are making money, everybody's happy.
Yeah, you know, you brought up the buzzword right there in personality, because I've always felt like baseball now in 2019, to its detriment, kind of legislates personality out of the game. And it's done a lot by the players. Like, if somebody has too much fun after a home run, they're getting a ball in the ear the next time up. What's your perspective on that?
Well, I mean, I dig all that stuff. I love the bat flips. You know, I love the celebrations. I love all that stuff. At the end of the day, you got to remember, though, there is a respect factor that goes into that, right? You can do your celebrating and your whole nine, but when it goes over, when it crosses that line, right, then I think that's when you kind of have your problems. But I think for myself, man, like, you know, we saw some pretty good brawls last year, which was fun, and I think people got excited about all that stuff. I think, you know, we need to bring the energy back to the game a little bit more. I think now the game is so different where there's no contact in the game anymore, right? The collisions at the plate are gone. You know, the collisions at second base are pretty much gone. You know, if a pitcher drills somebody, you know, he's just blasted on the paper the next day. So I think maybe we get back to kind of the old school grind of the game, but at the end of the day, man, the players make the game. And I think for us, you know, I mean, what's great about our game is it's a global game. And I think that's great because we've got a lot of different nationalities. And you know, I think we're going to learn about these guys. I think in due time, right, with you know social media and the ability to promote yourself, I think we will learn a little bit more about these guys, you know, from those social outlets. But at the end of the day, man, you got to remember, baseball is, you know, who baseball is run by. It's still stuck kind of a little bit in the past, and I think just in time, our game will evolve because it has to. Because once you start to see any sort of dip in any of the money aspect of it, they'll change if they need to.
Nick, it is an absolute blast talking to you. And
No doubt, bro.
Yeah, I cannot appreciate you more for taking the time to do this. It's been a ton of fun. Really, really appreciate it.
Mark, anytime, homie. Absolutely, my man. No problem.